Katagiri found a giant frog waiting for him in his apartment. It was powerfully built, standing over 6 foot tall on its hind legs. Katagiri was a skinny man, no more than 5'3", and he felt overwhelmed by the frog's sheer size. "Call me Frog," said the frog in an imposing voice. Katagiri was rooted to the spot, unable to speak. "Don't be afraid. I'm not here to hurt you. Just come in and close the door. Please, Mr. Katagiri, hurry and close the door." The sound of his own name helped Katagiri snap out of it. He came in, put down his briefcase, and Frog gestured for him to take a seat at the kitchen table. "I must apologize, Mr. Katagiri, for having barged in on you, but I had no choice. Would you like a cup of tea? I've boiled the kettle." The sound of his own name helped Katagiri snap out of it. He came in, put down his briefcase, and Frog gestured. I've read that bit already, haven't I? "I boiled the kettle." I don't normally do a frog voice. Mr. Katagiri thought, "Someone's playing a joke on me. They've rigged up this huge frog costume." But as he watched Frog pour out the boiling water, he knew this was a real frog. When Katagiri was sipping his tea, Frog said, "Calming down. I know I should have made an appointment, but an urgent matter brings me here. Please forgive me."
Urgent matter?
Katagiri managed to stammer out the words. "Does it have something to do with me?"
"Yes and no," said Frog. "No and yes."
"You're not connected to some sort of gang, are you?" Katagiri dealt with some very dodgy people in his work at the Tokyo Trust Bank.
"Gang? Ha 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 ha!"
laughed Frog, slapping his great webbed hand against his thigh. "What kind of gang is going to employ a frog to do their dirty work? They'd be a laughing stock.
I know that you're an assistant chief of the lending division, but my visit has nothing to do with the repayment of a loan. I am here to save Tokyo from destruction."
Katagiri scanned the room for a hidden TV camera, but he could see nothing.
"It's just us," said Frog. "I know you're thinking this must be a dream or you've gone mad, but this is absolutely positively serious."
"Can I ask a question?" said Katagiri.
"Of course," said Frog. "Ask as many as you like."
"You are a real frog, aren't you?"
"Of course, a real frog is exactly what I am. Shall I croak for you?"
Frog tilted back his head, opened his huge throat.
"Ribbit, ribbit, ribbit."
The gigantic croaks rattled the pictures on the walls.
I see," said Katagiri.
"Don't worry about the neighbors," said Frog. "You're the only one who can see and hear me."
"And you've come to save Tokyo from destruction?"
"Yes."
"What kind of destruction?"
"Earthquake,"
said Frog with the utmost gravity. Katagiri's mouth dropped open. He and Frog stared at each other in silence for a long time. Then Frog said,
"A very big earthquake. It's set to strike Tokyo at 8:30 a.m. in 3 days' time. Many people will be killed, perhaps 150,000. Fires everywhere, buildings collapsing, roads destroyed, ambulances useless, people lying helpless in the streets. And the epicenter will be right under the Shinjuku branch of the Tokyo Trust Bank."
"And you," said Katagiri, "are planning to stop the earthquake?"
"Exactly," said Frog. "You and I will go underground beneath the Shinjuku branch and do mortal combat with Worm."
Katagiri met some pretty dodgy people at the Shinjuku branch. It was where the Japanese mafia were based in Shinjuku, not to mention Korean mobsters and Chinese drugs gangs. And though he was small, Katagiri had a reputation for not being scared easily. But now he was at a total loss. "Who is Worm?" he said.
"Worm lives underground," said Frog. "He's gigantic, and when he gets angry, he causes earthquakes."
"So what you're saying is that you and I have to go underground together and fight Worm to stop the earthquake?"
"Exactly," said Frog.
"But why did you choose me?"
"I have always had the deepest respect for you," said Frog. "For 16 years, you have taken the toughest assignments and carried them off beautifully.
Even though your colleagues give you the worst jobs and don't appreciate your skills, you have never complained. After your parents died, you put both your younger brother and sister through college and arranged their marriage at great expense, even of your own marriage prospects. You're not much to look at, Mr. Katagiri, and far from eloquent, so people tend to look down on you. But in all of Tokyo, I couldn't find anyone else who could fight by my side in the way that you can.
How do you know so much about me?
Well, Mr. Katagiri, I have not been frogging all these years for nothing. I keep my eyes on the most important things of life.
But I'm not strong. I don't know what happens underground. Surely you can find someone a lot stronger than me, someone who does karate, for instance.
Frog rolled his large eyes. To tell you the truth, Mr. Katagiri, I am the one who will do all the fighting. But I can't do it alone. I need your courage and passion for justice. I need you to be with me to say, come on, Frog, you can do it. Hang in there. Will you join me to fight against the worm?
You know, Mr. Frog, I'm just an ordinary person. I've just turned 40. I've got flat feet. I'm short-sighted. I have no athletic ability. And most people just ignore me. Why should a person like me be the one to save Tokyo?
Because, Mr. Katagiri, Tokyo can only be saved by a person like you. And it's for people like you that I'm trying to save Tokyo.
Katagiri sighed deeply. All right then, what do you want me to do?
Well, that was Super Frog Saves Tokyo. And if you've heard an Easter talk like that before, I'd be quite surprised. It's the first half of a short story by a Japanese writer called Haruki Murakami, who some of you might know. And he says his stories are about the deepest spiritual issues without any of the trappings of religion. It's a strange story, but if you're a believer, I think it's quite a relevant story. If you're not a believer, let me say that St. Michael's is a safe place to be. We always want it to be a place where anyone can come, where you can challenge anything, you can ask the toughest question. So do come and sit and listen and watch what goes on. If you want to find out more about the real Easter story, pick up one of these Gospels at the back for free, or this graphic version called The Third Day of the End of Luke's Gospel. So if you're not a believer, it's great that you're here today, and please come again. But if you are a believer, think about the parallels between Super Frog Saves Tokyo and your story. You two have met someone real, someone unexpected. We often have a sense, don't we, that rather than us finding him, he has found us. He's come to us. And other people can't see or hear him, but you know that he's real. You've come to realize that he is more real than anything else. And he knows all about you. He knows more about you than anyone else does. And like Frog, he came on a rescue mission, not just to save 150,000 people in Tokyo from an earthquake, but to save the entire world from death and destruction. Without that rescue mission, we're in desperate trouble. He too goes down into the depths to do battle with death and evil. He does all the fighting, not us. We couldn't possibly win that battle with death, could we? But he has fought and won it for us. And he wants us to be with him on his rescue mission. He chooses the most unlikely people, people who don't always seem very special to anyone else. And yet he notices them. He chooses them. And he involves us in the battle for life to triumph over death, for hope to triumph over despair. Somehow the way we live and the things that we do and the words that we say are part of that battle. You are Mr. Katagiri, part of God's plan to save millions of people from death and destruction. Isn't that a story really worth responding to? Worth risking everything for? You might say, well, Lord, why did you choose me? And the answer is, we don't know why he chose us, but he did. And the question we really need to ask is Mr. Katagiri's question. All right then, what do you want me to do? Well, if you think we haven't looked much at the resurrection this morning, you'd be right. But the good news is we're going to take the next 4 weeks to look at the Bible's great chapter on the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15. It's got 58 verses, and we're going to take 4 weeks to really understand the significance of Jesus rising from the dead. But today, just think about your encounter with the risen Christ. If you've met him, you know he's alive and he's real, and he fights with and conquers death. I am the resurrection and the life, says Jesus. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And if your answer is yes, then your response surely must be, all right then, what do you want me to do?